Tonight we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 10, verse number 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prati purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Tesham, unto them, satata yuktanam, always engaged, bhajatam, in rendering devotional service, pritipurvakam, in loving ecstasy, dadami, I give, buddhi yogam, real intelligence, tam, that, yena, by which, mam, unto me, upayanti, come, te, they. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Report. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things, and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life, but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculation to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely, in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attracted, or rather attached, to a spiritual organization. But still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. Om Agyanatimadanda Shaganandjana Shalakaya Om Chakshuru Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Sopatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kandarara Kantana Mostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakopatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Vavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, does anyone need help for going back to Godhead? Does anyone feel they need some help? Or they've already got it made, they're pure devotees already. Anybody feel they need help? Anyone speak up, say Hari Bol if you feel you need help. Hari Bol. Okay. Very good. Because this verse is giving just the help that we need to get out of our quagmire, this quicksand of material existence. Prabhupada is giving a very nice explanation. If we're having difficulty, we're not intelligent enough to be able to progress nicely. Does that sound familiar? Not intelligent enough to progress nicely? If we are not intelligent enough to make nice progress on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead, then all we have to do is be sincere. All we have to do is be sincerely devoted to the activities of devotional service to the Lord. We just have to be sincerely dedicated to the activities, just like now we're hearing and peeling or something. Plums? Cutting the plums? See, this is an activity, cutting the plums for Krishna. If you're sincerely devoted, you're doing a nice job of cutting the plums for Krishna. You see? and you're sincerely devoted to hearing nicely the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, even if you're not intelligent enough to be making nice progress in devotional service, if you're just sincerely dedicated to cutting plums nicely and hearing nicely the Bhagavad Gita, then what will be the result? Prabhupada explains. He says the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately come to him. Krishna will see, oh, he or she is cutting the plums very nicely, trying to do a nice job, trying to hear nicely the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna sees. So all you have to do is be sincere. Now, if you want to get a job at some company, you want to get hired at some company, is sincerity enough? No. They want you to be expert. If you're not, they want you to be very intelligent and expert. Do the job intelligently and expertly, isn't it? And if you're not intelligent and if you're not expert, you're out. Finished. You can say, but I'm sincere. But they say, you make so many mistakes. Sorry. You're not expert enough. But Krishna, he's a much kinder employer. He's a very merciful employer. All you have to do is be sincere. Even if you're an idiot and you constantly make mistakes, all you have to do is be sincere. And Krishna will give you everything you need to come back to him. So by comparative analysis of all the employers in this world, Krishna is absolutely the best employer. So if you're looking for a job, then why not work for Krishna? There's much better fringe benefits. There's much better retirement plan. Galoka Vrindavan, you see. So if you want to work, work for Krishna. Such a nice plan. So this is a very, very nice thing because Krishna is within our hearts. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannavishto mataksmatir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in the hearts of all living entities, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Everything's there by Krishna's arrangement. We remember things by his arrangement. We forget things by his arrangement. So all you have to do is sincerely desire to know the truth as it is. And then Krishna will facilitate you. Now if you want to be an illusion, you see, if you want to think that you are God, then Krishna will give you that illusion. If you want to think there is no God, then Krishna will give you atheistic arguments to deny his existence. He's the facilitator. Krishna is not really lording it over, even though he could. That's his position. I mean, he could lord it over, but he doesn't. Krishna is not a lording it over person. He's the facilitator. He's sitting neutrally within your heart as the Paramatma, and he gives you what you want. He facilitates you. If you want to rob a bank, you see, then Krishna will give you that intelligence. We had one bank robber in Texas. He was very expert. Krishna gave him very good intelligence. His name, they gave him a nickname, Dapper Dan. Dapper means a polished gentleman. Someone who's very dapper. So he would come to the bank with a business suit, very polished wingtip shoes, in a fancy late model sports car with a silver pistol and a very fancy attaché case. And he had robbed the bank. You see, bank after bank after bank. He was robbing the banks and getting away with it. So Krishna gave him the intelligence how to do that. Mm-hmm. course, finally he got caught. They caught up with him at a stoplight. And he was trapped. He couldn't get out because the traffic was in front of him. So he just opened his mouth and pulled the trigger. But Krishna gave him the intelligence to see how to rob banks. And he became practically a folk hero in the Dallas area. Well, Dapper Dan did it again. He'd have a wig on, you know, and sunglasses, so you could never see his face. But his trademark was he always came in with a, you know, first class business suit and a nice shiny silver pistol. So Krishna gives intelligence. If you want to be a bank robber, he will give you intelligence. And if you want to be a robber also, you want to protect yourself from the thieves also, Krishna will give you that intelligence as well. Actually, there was one devotee. Formerly, he was a robber. And Krishna gave him the intelligence how to steal from one house. He snuck into that house and he was looking in the dark for something to steal, and then the house sorters, they pulled up in the driveway in their car. So he did not panic. He was a very cool-headed thief. He just knew, now it's time for me to leave. Let me grab something. So in the dark, he just reached out, he grabbed something and took it. And he got home and he found out what it was. It was Bhagavad Gita, as it is. So he read that book and he became a devotee, a very nice, pious, saintly devotee. Just see the potency of Prabhupada's books. A thief became a devotee by stealing a Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna gave him the intelligence how to steal a Bhagavad Gita. And he became a devotee. So Krishna gives, he's the facilitator. He gives all kinds of intelligence. He gives remembrance, he gives forgetfulness. He's giving all facility. Therefore, if we are intelligent, we will hanker for devotional service, because then Krishna will facilitate that. Even if we're having difficulty, even if we're struggling, that's all right. We have to be patient. Was Rome built in one day? No. Can a 1,000-mile journey be completed in one step? Even packing your suitcase is an ordeal. We know we had to pack for a... Mataji and I had to pack for a 4-month trip. 4 months. All the, you know, vitamins and supplements and so many. It's complicated. And the deities, all the deity outfits for 4 months, and it's a big thing. 4 months. So it was an ordeal just to pack, what to speak of actually getting on the road, and, you know, having our reservation canceled in London, so many things. So if even an ordinary thing like, you know, going on a preaching tour for 4 months is so difficult to get together, then what to speak about going back to Godhead? You see, after we've been here in this material existence for millions and millions of births, sometimes a Brahma, sometimes an Indra, sometimes an Indragopa, a germ. Did you know you were a germ in a previous lifetime? You know you were a germ in a previous lifetime? Yes, you were. Now you've got this human birth. And now you have a good facility to go back to home, back to Godhead. So the key is sincerity. That will cover everything. Krishna says to those who are constantly devoted to worshipping me with love, who worship me, I mean, he actually, in the other verse, he said, those who worship me with exclusive devotion, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Now, what does that mean, exclusive? Just like in the material world, when a boy has a girlfriend, she wants to make sure that her boyfriend doesn't have any other girlfriend. She must be the only girlfriend. She gets very jealous if her boyfriend smiles at another girl, you see. So that's called exclusive. She wants exclusive relationship with that boy, that no one else has that relationship. So Krishna is like them. He wants exclusive. He wants you exclusively. Not that, well, I'm devoted to Krishna, I'm devoted to Shiva, is it? Devoted to this and that. No. Krishna wants it all. I'm completely, totally dedicated to Krishna. Every thought is for Krishna. Every word is for Krishna. Every activity is for Krishna. In all times, in all places, in all circumstances. You see. What is this called? Do you know what this is called? This is called Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada summed it up in this phrase. He said, nothing departs us except Krishna. Just like you go to some big shopping mall, there's thousands of items you can purchase in that shopping mall. You see. And someone says, what have you come to this shopping mall to purchase? He says, I've only come to purchase Krishna. I want nothing but Krishna. So nothing to purchase except for Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says. Nothing else. I have no other interest. I'm not interested in Maya. I'm not interested in Durga. I'm not interested in Kali. I'm not interested in Kali. I'm not interested in sex. I'm not interested in sleeping. You see, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I'm not interested in them. All I want is Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This is called Krishna consciousness. So how in the world could someone be so, they would argue, the materialists will argue, how in the world could someone be so narrow-minded to only want Krishna? I see, you're brainwashed, you poor thing. Those cult members got a hold of you and they brainwashed you that you only want Krishna and nothing else. So, is that true? Is this a brainwash cult? That we were captured, some people brainwashed us, they fed us some food with drugs in it, and we became captivated by the brainwash cult. Now we can't get out because we've been completely mesmerized. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We've been, a spell has been cast on us by the Guru. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And now we can't think of anything but Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Is that true? That, you know, we're narrow-minded. They may think so. But I can tell you that actually when you access Krishna, when you access everything, just like when you can connect your computer with the internet, there is one access point, that cable. There is one point of access, but that cable then gives you access to the whole internet world. So actually when you connect with Krishna, then you connect with everything. When you feed your belly, then you feed your entire body. You know, one time the parts of the body, they became very disturbed. And the story is given in the Vedas. One time the parts of the body became very, very, very disturbed. What is this nonsense? We are working so hard, day in and day out, simply to see that belly. And all it does is sit there. It doesn't do any work. It doesn't pay rent. It doesn't cut the vegetables. It doesn't go to the refrigerator and, you know, it doesn't measure the ingredients. Nothing. It just sits there and eats. It just sits there and doesn't even bother chewing. It just sits there and enjoys all the food. So you know what they did? They said, we're going to form a union. And we're going to go on strike. Don't feed the belly. Don't feed the belly. The stomach is a fascist. Don't feed the belly. So they get their signs, they're marching up and down, chanting their slogan, don't feed the stomach, don't feed the stomach, the stomach is a fascist, don't feed the stomach, don't feed the stomach. They were so angry, they were chanting with great intensity. With great intensity they were chanting and marching up and down, carrying signs, don't feed that rascal stomach. The stomach is a capitalist pig. Don't feed the stomach, don't feed the stomach. In this way they went on and on with great, great enthusiasm for the first day. But you know what happened on the second day? They started feeling a little weak. They weren't, no one was feeding the stomach. The hand didn't have so much strength. The voice didn't have so much strength. The legs felt a little weaker. They start losing their energy. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. The third day was like, don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. Finally, by the end of the third day, they said, I think we better call a union meeting. We better have a union meeting. And they decided that, you know, I don't know what it is, but if we don't feed the stomach, we don't have any energy. So, I guess there's nothing to do but feed the stomach. So in this way, they called the end of their strike and they started feeding the stomach again. Everybody was happy. So, the point of the story is that Krishna is the stomach. And we are the bodily part. If we try to avoid serving Krishna, we're doing nothing but cutting our own throat. That's all. We're simply cutting our own throats if we don't serve Krishna. Because Krishna is the root of the entire creation. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. But if you neglect that root, well, I will just water the leaves. Well, guess what? Your tree is going to die. It'll drop dead. You have to feed the stomach. You have to water the root of the tree. You have to give your love to Krishna. Otherwise, there's no way you can ever be satisfied. It's impossible to be satisfied unless you purely give your love to Krishna. Simply making an external show of being a devotee is not enough. Putting on some kanti mala, putting on a dhoti or a sari, shaving your head or putting on some tilak, that's not enough. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written one bhajan. He said, here comes another, just see, here comes another disciple of Kali. He's keeping tilak on the nose and kanti mala on the neck, but he's having illicit sex. So, simply making a show of devotional service and behind the scenes having illicit sex life doesn't work. Doesn't work. You have to become pure when you're in the temple room and when you're in your apartment when nobody's around. Krishna sees everything. Krishna sees everything. So therefore we have to be spotlessly pure. One time I saw that there was one man, he was thinking how to enjoy the internet. So he took one camera. He took and he mounted something so the camera was out front of him, pointed at him. And he kept it on 24 hours a day. So he was broadcasting and doing a webcast of his activities 24 hours a day. Suppose he even had himself on the toilet. You know, he was a shameless man. But 24 hours a day he was showing his activities to the world. Now, just imagine if someone would take a webcam of your mind, what was going on in your mind. And 24 hours a day it would be broadcast for all the ISKCON devotees to see what's going on in your mind. Just imagine. You know, if your mind deviates, you start thinking about sex pleasure, or you start thinking something bad about another devotee, it'll all be seen by the whole ISKCON world. Would you, all your thoughts could be seen by all the devotees in the whole of ISKCON, would you be embarrassed to show your face in the temple room? Or could you come in and stand openly and not be embarrassed, not be, you know, scarlet red? All your thoughts could be openly seen by all the devotees and you wouldn't have to be embarrassed. I remember there was one popular songwriter back in the 60s. He said, "If my thoughts could be seen, they would stick my head in a guillotine." Could we actually have our thoughts visible? All of our thoughts visible to all the devotees and not be embarrassed. You see, that's what we have to cultivate. That's called pure devotional service. That's what we have to cultivate. That kind of purity of thought. Consciously cultivate pure thoughts. When you see a bad thought, stamp it out. When you see that your mind is on a good track, then encourage the mind. You're doing good, mind. Keep it up. Because the mind is either the best friend or the worst enemy. Just like a child, when it's behaving nicely, the mother gives encouragement. "Oh, my dear child, you're doing so nicely." And when the child is naughty, the mother scolds. So we should give our mind encouragement when we're doing nicely. If there's some nice thoughts, then we can write them down. Write some article for Back to Godhead magazine. If we're thinking very nicely, we have some nice realizations, we can put them into writing and share them. Or we make a mental note and just repeat them when we, our realizations to our God brothers and our God sisters, can relate to them what the nice realizations we are having. So when the mind is doing something nice, then we should give it more energy when it's doing something nice. And doing something bad, we should immediately clamp down on it. Stop it. Stop it. In this way. So, this is my farewell lecture. Tomorrow we're leaving after Mangal Arti. And Mataji and I just wanted to thank you all very much for so nicely receiving us here, welcoming us as your family members, even though we were strangers to you completely. With such nice loving feeling, you welcomed us here into your community, and we can never forget your loving kindness. And we just hope that we can reciprocate with you the wonderful love that you've shown us, that we're just praying that we can somehow or other, in spite of our lack of saintly qualities, that we can reciprocate your love nicely. Are there any questions? turn on the hearing aids here. Any questions? Yes.
It said that in Kali Yuga, bad thoughts don't create reaction. So one might think, well, it doesn't matter so much what I'm thinking, even if I'm thinking bad things.
Yes, in previous ages, if you would think of doing something, you would get the karma for having done it. But this Kali Yuga, we're in a very fallen state, so there's a special mercy in this age. If you think of doing something, you don't get the karmic reaction for having done it. However, don't think that gives you carte blanche or facility that now you can just think whatever you want because you don't get a reaction, karmic reaction for thinking it. You can just, you know, meditate on illicit sex or meditate on, you know, beating somebody up and it's, you know, it's okay. No. Because the Vedic psychology is very precisely defined psychology. There are four phases: thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. If you are thinking something, bad thing, then what will be the result? If you think it long enough, then you will feel like doing that bad thing. If someone is meditating and thinking about illicit sex, for example, and they keep thinking about it, the natural while they'll say, you know, I really feel like having illicit sex. I really feel like it. And then, feeling like having illicit sex, and then I want to have illicit sex. The desire for illicit sex comes. I want it. And then if that remains, then you do it. So it all begins with thinking. If even the thought of illicit sex comes in the brain, immediately nip it. Not this thought, you just tell your mind, excuse me, mind, this thought is not allowed here. That is an illegal thought. And the reason it is illegal is that that thought will simply bring you misery. Nothing else. Don't even think about illicit sex because that thought will do nothing but bring hell to your life. You see? So you nip it on the level of thinking. As soon as you see that thought, nip it immediately. Get out of here. What did Christ say? Satan, get thee behind me. Satan, get thee behind me. You immediately nip it. You're not allowed. Not allowed. So it's a fact, you don't get the reaction for thinking it, but if you keep thinking it, it becomes a sinful activity for which you will get the reaction. So therefore, stop it. As soon as that thought comes, immediately use your intelligence and realize, I shouldn't be thinking about this because this will lead to nothing but hell. What is that verse? Huh? Gyayato. How does it begin?
Gyayato. Gyayato Vishayan Pumshan Pumshan Deshukaya.
Yes. That's the verse. That's right. Because if you think you contemplate the objects of the senses, you develop attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger arises. From anger, delusion, bewilderment of memory, and an intelligence is lost. One falls down again into the material pool. Gyayato vishayam pumasam. Yes, that's right. So don't think it. As soon as you see your mind thinking some nonsense thing, you chastise the mind. You rascal, stop it. Think of Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Pray to Krishna. My dear Lord, this sinful thought has entered my mind. Please rescue me from this sinful thought. Let me be fixed in the beautiful, wonderful, transcendental qualities of you, of your transcendental pastimes with Srimati Radharani. In this way, you can come to a higher platform by using your intelligence. Questions more? Yes.
Well, you said Krishna is a facilitator. He facilitates the thief because he wants to rob the bank. And if a devotee wants to, he facilitates him, and so the devotee wants to be the devotee, then why should there be any difficulty?
If a devotee what?
If a devotee wants to be devotee.
If a devotee wants to be devotee, Krishna will give him all facility to do that.
There is so many difficulties to go to him.
So difficulties, yes.
So why there should be difficulties?
All right, difficulties. The question is, why are there so many difficulties for one who is sincerely wanting to become Krishna conscious? Well, the fact is, as we described in a previous lecture here, since time immemorial, we have been enamored by money and the opposite sex. That's the thing. Since time immemorial, these things have enamored us. They've captured our minds for millions of lifetimes. So, to give those up immediately is not an easy thing. It's a gradual process. See? As Prabhupada states in this purport, the path is slowly but progressively traversed. And we shouldn't make it any slower than it has to be. We should push ourselves to make it as fast as possible. But the fact is, we will have to be patient. Because we have a lot of conditioning to overcome. Prabhupada gives the example of a lady who gets married. You see? She knows that now I have my husband, so I will have my baby. My child will be coming in due course because I'm now married. I have a husband. She cannot expect the next morning after the marriage, "My dear husband, what sort of husband are you? I don't have a baby yet." She cannot expect the next day after the wedding to have a baby child. It takes time before the baby comes. But she can know that because she has husband, then baby will come. So in the same way, we begin the path of Krishna consciousness. We can be sure that pure Krishna bhakti will come. But we cannot expect immediately, "Oh, I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I got initiated, and I didn't see Krishna within 5 minutes after my initiation. What's wrong?" I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 34 years, and the more I practice it, the more I see how many anarthas I have. So, it's like when you finally realize what a predicament you're really in, that's when you're making advancement. When you think that, "Oh yeah, I'm a pure devotee, I'm completely fixed up now in Krishna consciousness," that means you better watch out. And you start to realize how really, really messed up you are. That's when you're making advance. Prabhupada, you know what he said? Prabhupada said in Boston, he said, "I'm always praying to Krishna that I won't fall down." Can you imagine? Prabhupada said that? "I'm always begging Krishna that I won't fall down." So that's why Prabhupada could never fall down, because he was always begging Krishna that I won't fall down. So if you think that you're beyond falling down, guess what? You're already fallen. You're already fallen. If you think you're beyond fall down, you're in a fallen state right now. When you realize how vulnerable you are to the allurement of Maya Devi and you're begging Krishna to protect you, then you're on the safe side. So you have to be humble. As we were speaking this morning, pride is the problem. We have to be very humble and realize how dependent we are on Krishna. At every moment we have to be calling desperately, like a child crying for the mother, feeling absolutely, totally dependent on Krishna at every second, just to survive spiritually. We have to intensely be begging Krishna at every minute to save me, protect me. Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 Raksha mam! Krishna, 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 Pahi mam! Raghava Rama, Raghava Rama, Raghava Rama, Raghava Raksha mam! Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahi mam! Just calling out to Krishna, intensely begging the Lord to save me. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the mood. The obstacles that we're going through, if you see them as a special blessing of Krishna, they will no longer be impediments. They will be stepping stones. A Vaishnava sees everything very positive. In this material world, it is said that certain things are auspicious and certain things are inauspicious. But a devotee who is transcendentally situated, he does not see anything as inauspicious. He sees absolutely everything as auspicious. Even the so-called inauspicious thing. Just like our Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He came down with terminal cancer. You see? And he thought, actually, this is a great blessing. Let me use this in the service of Krishna. And how gloriously he left this world. You see? He used his suffering condition to expand his own preaching. Very, very nicely. So in this way, the so-called obstacles, actually they're simply opportunities. Obstacle begins with an O, and opportunity begins with an O. Obstacle means opportunity to expand one's Krishna consciousness. It is said that there is no question of glorious victory without strong opposition. Just like in America, that popular sport, football. Very popular sport in America. So if the opposing team is very weak and the and your team is simply running over them, getting one touchdown after another touchdown, it's a boring game. Everybody will be go home, you know, the score is 100 to 108 to nothing. Everybody goes home in boredom because it's not an interesting game. The opposite team is so weak, and you know, just the you know your team is just running over them. Like there's no opposition; it's not even interesting. But when the opposing team is very strong, and there's constant anxiety: will we win or will we lose? Will we win or will we lose? And it's a very, very exciting game. And when you finally do win, then it becomes the most ecstatic and enlivening thing. We won! We won! So in this way, to overcome obstacles in the service of Krishna, it makes the process of Krishna consciousness more exciting and more enlivening, actually. More exciting and more enlivening. Questions, Mark? This is your last chance. Okay.
You gave this example of the bank robber. Krishna also facilitates him. But the world is supposed to become good. So why doesn't Krishna just make this? Why doesn't Krishna play a little trick and make this bank robber stumble and fall over and lose his garment?
Actually, Krishna, he has the laws of this material nature. The law of karma is going on here. And if that bank robber has some very good karma, then he will, because of his good karma, he will get away with successfully robbing the bank. But when his karma runs out, then he will be caught. Krishna gives that freedom to the living entity that, all right, you want to enjoy separately? All right, I'll give you some facility. But the whole point is that Krishna will eventually capture him, just like in deep sea fishing. There's a system for catching that big fish. When they go into the ocean, the fishermen go and they catch the big fish with their hook and their line. You see. Once they capture that fish on the hook, they don't just reel him in, because then he will fight and break the line. But when the fish wants to go the other way, the fisherman will let him go. He will give that fish the illusion that actually he's not captured. But then gradually he will bring him in and capture him. So Krishna gives that bank robber the illusion that he's actually getting away with murder. He's getting away with robbing banks. In this way, Krishna is playing with that thief. Just like when you read in Krishna book, Krishna is killing all the demons. But sometimes he allows the demons to act as if they are winning. You know that Agasur, I mean that Kaliyanak Leela? In the beginning, Krishna was actually captured by Kaliya. It looked like Krishna would be killed by Kaliya, actually. And all the Brijabasis had practically given up their lives in total devastation, except for Balaram, who knew, oh, Krishna is simply playing. No problem. So Krishna is playing with these rascals. He gives them the illusion that they're winning and then he smashes them. Questions more?
Oh yeah, this question we forgot yesterday today. Are there people who still can perform miracles? Yesterday evening.
Yes. Yeah. But what is miracle? Actually, there is no such thing as a miracle. It only appears to be a miracle if you do not know the science. Yes, magic is simply means you don't know how the magic is done. Just like they, and I don't know if you have seen, but there's one shaving cream you can buy. And when you put that shaving cream on your face, it heats up automatically by chemical reaction. You are too young to shave, but when you get older and you have a beard, you can try the shaving cream. That when you put it on your face, it becomes warm by chemical reaction. So, our devotees, for some fun, they were in an Indian village. And they had a can of this shaving cream. And they put it on the. They showed this shaving cream to some Indian villagers. And the Indian villagers thought, oh, they were mystic yogis. They had magical powers. So actually, there's no such thing as magic if you know the art of how it is done. But if you don't know the art and you think, oh, it is magic. But actually, there is an art behind everything. If you simply know the art, you can do any wonderful thing. There are eight types of mystic perfection. They are called Ashta Siddhi. And by this Ashta Siddhi, you can do all kinds of magical things. You can reach all halfway around the world. You can bring one mango from South America and you can bring it here to Germany in your hand. That is called Prapti Siddhi. The mystic yogis, they can do. They can reach all the way to India. They can take one mango on the subtle platform and bring it here and make it gross mango that you can eat. These are described by Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion. Eight types of mystic perfection. But they're simply a matter of knowing how to do things, that's all. Just like you know how to do so many things. Like this little boy that was here a minute ago, he has learned how to tie one string on a stick and make it shoot one arrow, you see. Now for some child who doesn't know how to do that, you'll think, oh, this is magic. You can make an arrow, a stick fly through the air. But if you know the art of how to put one string on one stick, then it's not magic. It's simply called bow and arrow. But if you do not know what is bow and arrow, you see someone is making a stick fly through the air, you think, oh, it is magic. So magic simply means ignorance. You don't know how the thing is done. Yes. Question.
You said that if someone thinks that I will not fall down, that will be for pride, and that's a pride, and they will fall down. But
they're already fallen. Not that they will, they're already fallen.
Okay, they are already fallen.
Yes.
Isn't that it also is an impetus for one not to fall down? And just like the Prabhupada also said about himself, like he was praying in Boston, when I prayed that I would not fall down. But at the same time, another time he's mentioned that if he will go into the room full of naked women, he will not be anahata.
Yes. Prabhupada said he could enter into a whole room full of naked, beautiful naked women and his mind would not be agitated. And why would he not be agitated? Because within his heart he would be constantly praying to Krishna, please protect me from falling down. That's why he would not be agitated. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, but at the same time, I think if someone thinks that I should not fall down, I might not fall down, but then that will give him a person the impetus not to fall down also.
If someone thinks I should not fall down?
Yeah,
yes, that's also good. Someone thinks I have to be careful not to fall down. Yes, that's very good. And then how do you make sure you won't fall down? You beg the mercy of the protection, the merciful protection of Krishna and Guru, that you won't fall down. It all comes back to that prayer of dependence on Guru and Krishna. Everything depends on Guru and Krishna. Everything. There's no way of getting out of that humble position of being dependent on Guru and Krishna. There's no way out of it except for falling down. That's the only way out of it. Questions, Mark?
Since there's a man go down and meditate, does man then enter this outer kirtan with the entering outer kamar man be bhakti?
Is it true if you meditate long time enough, then you develop a third eye, and with the third eye you can hypnotize somebody?
But actually, Shiva has third eye. You do not have third eye. You can meditate for 10 million years and you will not get third eye. However, we can give you something better than third eye. We will take your present two eyes and we will turn them into pure spiritual eyes with which you can directly see God face to face. With your two eyes that you have right now, you don't need a third one. Just make the two eyes you have right now perfect. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayesha valokayanti yang shama shundaram achintya ganasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Do you know sometimes if you have some, you can buy some ointment for your eye. In Sanskrit language, ointment is called anjana. So, and love is called prema. So, premanjana. You take that premanjana, you take the ointment of love of God. And you anoint your eyes with that ointment of love of God by hearing through the ear the glories of Krishna. Then your eyes will become anointed with that ointment of love of God. And then with your very two eyes, if you continue to hear the glories of Krishna from the Vaishnavas, from the scripture, and from Sri Guru, if you continue to hear the glories of Krishna, then the two eyes you have now will become perfect, and you will directly see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. So now, you simply qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That is the instruction. Tommy?
He should hear the class so his questions will be answered. He should hear
class. Yeah, come. You should come every day for morning and evening class. Bhagavatam also. Don't sleep in. You attend the classes regularly and read the scripture. And you will develop two perfect eyes. You will not need third eye. You simply take the two eyes you already have and make them perfect. Is that all right? Jai. Anyone else have questions? Yes. I'll take one more from you. This is the last question now. Unless somebody really has a burning need to ask a question, this will be the last one.
How does a world without Krishna and his friends, and the devotees, how does a world look like that? Without Krishna and the devotees and his friends.
So without Krishna and without the devotees, how does the world look like?
A world without Krishna and Krishna's devotees is like a desert, a horrible desert. Okay, we thank you very much for your wonderful kindness upon us, and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.